Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Magic Software Enterprise 2019 third quarter financial results conference call. At this time, all participants are presently in a listen-only mode. A brief question-and-answer session will follow the formal presentation. For operator assistance during the conference, please press star zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. With us on the line today are Magic CEO, Mr. Guy Bernstein, Magic CFO, Mr. Asaf Berenstein, Magic CMO, Mrs. Einat Etzioni, and Magic VP M&A and General Counsel, Mr. Amit Burke. I would now like to turn the conference over to Mr. Amit Burke of Magic Software. Please go ahead.
Thank you and good day, everyone. Our quarterly earnings release was issued before the market opened this morning, and it has been posted on the company's website at www.magicsoftware.com. Before we start, I would like to remind everyone that this conference call may contain projections or other forward-looking statements. The safe harbor provision provided in the press release issued today also applies to the content of this call. Magic expressly disclaims any obligation to update or review any of these forward-looking statements, whether because of future events, new information, a change in its view or expectations, or otherwise. Also, during the course of today's call, we will refer to non-GAAP financial measures. A reconciliation schedule showing GAAP versus non-GAAP results has been provided in the press release issued before the market opened this morning. A replay of this call will be available after the call on our investor relations section of the company's website. I will now turn the call over to Mr. Asaf Berenstein, CFO of Magic Software. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you, Amit, and thank you everyone for joining us today as we report our third quarter 2019 financial results. We enter the second half of 2019 with a firm pipeline of business, which we expect will serve our continued strong momentum into year-end. Our third quarter results demonstrated the continued solid execution of our 2019 priorities of top-line growth while maintaining our operating margins. Our third quarter revenues totaled $85.8 million compared to $72.1 million for the third quarter last year and $77.1 million in the previous quarter, reflecting 19% and 11% growth, respectively. The outlook for our business remains robust, and we are benefiting from global trends that are driving our growth. This includes first and foremost the demand for a wide range of top technologies, methodologies, and services for the SMB enterprise digital transformation demand for services. On the M&A front, Magic has demonstrated a solid track record of acquisitions that have accelerated top-line and bottom-line growth. We have proven our ability to successfully integrate acquisitions and improve the operational performance of the combined entities. Through our acquisition strategy, we have expanded the offering for our customers and increased our global footprint. Our recent acquisition completed during the third quarter of NetFX, a U.S.-based company which specializes in IT staffing and recruiting, will expand our footprint in the U.S. market and diversify our client portfolio. NetFX team and its solid customer base that includes several blue-chip companies will help Magic fulfill its commitment to its client to serve as a one-stop shop for a full set of solutions and continues its expansion. We continue with our efforts to find more potential companies that fit our strategy and our valuation range. We continue looking for small to mid-sized companies with revenues in the range of $20 to $50 million, which will follow our strategy, geographic expansion, complementary products, and customer base. On the marketing and brand awareness front, we continue to focus on two fronts on our software solution division, the low-code application development and Industry 4.0. In the beginning of the week, we hosted our annual Japanese Partners and Client Conference in Tokyo, more than 500 participants representing 250 ISVs and enterprises that include several blue-chip companies discussed the Japanese industry trend, Magic strategy, vision, and roadmap. We believe that the Japanese market serves as a growth engine for Magic as it is the fourth industrial nation in the world and is a leader in adoption of low-code and mobile development platforms. Turning now to our third quarter business performance, I will now review our non-GAAP results, followed by comments on the balance sheet, cash flow, and end with our 2019 revised outlook. Looking at the geographical breakdown of our revenues during the third quarter, North America accounted for 48% of our total revenues, Israel 37%, Europe 8%, and APAC and the rest of the world accounted for 7% of our annual revenues. Most of our growth in 2019 in absolute number was traditionally from North America and Israel, which continue to be our strongest territories. North America accounted for 40% of our growth for the 9 months and 36% in the third quarter, and Israel accounted for 52% of our growth for the 9 months and 59% in the third quarter. Our revenues in North America for the 9 months period grew 9% year over year, and our revenues in Israel for the 9 months period grew 17% year over year. Turning now to profitability, our non-GAAP gross profit for the third quarter of 2019 was $28.9 million, up approximately 26% compared to $22.9 million in the third quarter of last year. Our non-GAAP gross margin for the third quarter of 2019 increased to 33.7% compared to 31.8% in the third quarter of last year. Our non-GAAP gross margin for the 9 month period of 2019 remained stable at 33.4% compared to 33.5% in the same period last year. The breakdown of our revenue mix for the 9 month period of 2019 was approximately 26% related to our software solution and 74% related to our professional services, compared to 28% related to our software solutions and 72% related to our professional services in 2018 as a whole. The decrease in the percentage of our software solutions is due to the acquisition of NetEffect and the expansion of our professional services portfolio. The breakdown of our gross profit mix for the 9 month period of 2019 was approximately 51% related to our software solutions and 49% related to our professional services, same as in the respective period last year. Moving to operational costs, R&D expenses on a non-GAAP basis in the third quarter of 2019 totaled $3 million, compared to $2.1 million in the same quarter of last year and $3.2 million in the previous quarter. The increase in our R&D expenses related mainly to the first-time consolidation of Power. As evidenced in many other software development companies in recent years, Magic has also been moving its development efforts to India and open a new R&D center in St. Petersburg to support its growing base of global customers. These centers, which currently employs close to 400 employees, are aimed to help us drive innovation and provide support for new and existing projects across our product portfolio, providing scale to our organization with an efficient cost structure and is critical to our support of and future growth. Our non-GAAP operating income for the third quarter increased 18% to $11.8 million, compared to $10 million in the same period last year. This reflects an operating margin of 13.7% for this quarter, compared to 13.8% in the third quarter of 2018 and 13.9% in the second quarter of 2019. As earlier stated, our results for the quarter included for the first time the consolidation of NetEffect, a recent acquisition, which is accretive to our results. Our non-GAAP tax expenses this quarter totaled $1.4 million compared to a tax expense of $1.6 million in the third quarter of 2018. Our effective tax rate for the 9 month period of 2019 was approximately 16% compared to 18% in 2018 as a whole. We estimate that our effective tax rate for the full year of 2019 will range between 19 and 21%. Our non-GAAP net income for the third quarter increased 19% to $8.1 million, or 17 cents per fully diluted share, compared to $6.8 million, or 14 cents per fully diluted share, in the same period last year. Turning now to the balance sheet, as of September 30, 2019, cash and cash equivalents, short and long-term bank deposits, and marketable securities amounted to approximately $100 million compared to approximately $116 million at the end of the previous quarter. Our total financial debt as of September 30, 2019 amounted to $28 million. From a cash flow perspective, we generated $6.1 million from operating activities in the third quarter and $32.7 million during the 9 month period of 2019. In summary, this quarter's strong financial results demonstrate that Magic is continuing its impressive forward momentum with growth in both revenues and profits. Our record-breaking 9 month result for 2019 confirmed that our strategic business initiatives are paying off. I would like to turn now to our guidance for 2019. Looking out to the remainder of 2019, we anticipate continuing with our growth momentum and are increasing our full-year 2019 revenue to the range of $317 million to $320 million compared to our previous guidance of $313 to $319 million. With that, I will turn the call over to the operator for questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you are using speaker equipment, kindly lift the handset before pressing the numbers. Your questions will be pulled in the order they are received. Please stand by while we pull for your questions. The first question is from Maggie Nolan of William Blair. Please go ahead.
Good morning. I'm wondering how much of a contribution NetEffect had in the quarter and what you expect that contribution to be going forward.
Basically, during the quarter, the contribution to the top line was around $5 million. This is the current run rate, but we believe that the projection for next year should be up by between 8 to 10% at the moment.
Okay, and you said it was accretive to the business. Do you expect that to continue, or are there any investments that you think you need to make while you're integrating NetEffect?
No, I think, first of all, it is accretive now, and it will be accretive in the future. We are currently also doing, as we always do, implementing our synergies with our other operation in the U.S. in order to improve its profitability.
Okay, great. And then the comments at the beginning, you all sounded fairly positive on the pipeline. Can you give us a little bit more detail about how that pipeline looks versus prior years and if there's any change in terms of what you're seeing in the way of deal size or deal length?
I think that basically it's more to the fact that the first half of the year began for us pretty slow. We experienced some slowdown from, at least against our, versus our expectation from CVS, which is our largest account. I think that the fact that we added NetEffect is one of the reasons or examples for our wish to diversify our customer portfolio and, let's say, be less sensitive to changes in significant clients. We started the second half with some nice projects that were cooking during the first half, and from that this is why we are more positive with what we expect from the second half versus the first half. I would mention one thing that, again, we have 40% of our business coming from the Israeli market, and the Israeli market fourth quarter will have its annual
holidays
season, which also would have a negative impact of around 6% of the revenues of the coming from Israel during the fourth quarter. And despite that, we still believe that we'll manage to compensate with other activities which are more worldwide.
I think all in all, we see a global trend that there are way more investments into this digital world, and therefore more projects, bigger sizes of projects, and we definitely enjoy that.
All right, great. Thank you.
The next question is from Tavi Rosner of Barclays. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Congrats on the strong results. You mentioned NetEffect. Can you comment on who their customers are and what kind of traction you expect to get from them in the coming quarters?
Basically, I'm not in liberty to mention the names of the customers. We just first started this working together with the management there during July. They have some blue chip companies. They have they are showing a growth projective when looking at their last 2 to 3 years operation. We believe that together with our presence in the U.S. market, we can even contribute more to their growth. But in terms of names, you know, it's not a large company. As I said, you know, they only contribute like $5 million per quarter at their current level of operation. They have around 20, 25 customers with like half of them contributing around 70% of the revenues. So I don't think that by the name, MasterCard, for example, is one of their customers. Bayer is another customer of them, which are, again, large accounts. So I don't think it's an issue to mention them.
Yeah, that's helpful. And then you talked about Japan, which is interesting because it keeps on coming, you know, on the radar when you're talking about Industry 4.0. And what percentage of revenues do you currently have in Japan? And how big do you think it can get based on what you're seeing there at the moment?
I think currently Japan is not that big in terms of revenues, though it's a pure technology sale. And it's a different way of doing business in Japan. Everything is through ISVs. And we definitely see a trend in Japan in the past 2 years of growth. So, you know, we don't know exactly what to expect for the next years, but it looks quite positive right now.
Great. Looking forward. Thanks, guys, and congrats again.
Thanks, Kevin.
The next question is from Kevin Deeney of HCW. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking the question. Last question on NetFX. What and how did you pay for $20 million in annual service revenue?
It's a complex deal, but I think the down payment is like $9 million with some earn-out over the next 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, all in all, we should pay, if everything goes well, probably
12.5 million, and we get also we are also paying for the working capital of around $4 million, which we get in the company from the first day. So this is why the company is also accretive on not just on the P&L but also on the cash flow.
Okay, so when did it close? I mean, were we seeing the full effect of it in the September quarter?
Yeah, it closed beginning of very early in July. But this is why we also mentioned it in our previous conference call.
Right. Okay. Okay. About how many heads, how many service heads came with the deal?
Yeah, close to 200.
Okay. So where does that put your total service headcount?
We have today around 2,600 employees, and in terms of most of them, of course, are from the for professional services. Around 80% are professional services, basically.
Okay. Now, I understand, Asaf. You mentioned CVS. Can you just sort of give us a little bit more color on what's going on there? I know that there was some pressure on margin, but I was just hoping you could dig in a little bit on the rebate side.
I would say on CVS it's kind of a double sword. On one hand, from the merger that they had with Aetna, we do see some more business coming from Aetna on one side. On the other side, we did see and experience a decline in their budget. So, in comparison to last year, we lost around $5 million in terms of turnover per quarter. On the other hand, it's true that if you take a company, for example, like NetFX, which has a lower level of revenues versus what we get from our operation in CVS. Still, the fact that they are not that big in their customer size gives them the ability to benefit from much higher margins. As with CVS, we get we get a more aggressive, let's say, rebate mechanism. Still, we are very glad to the business that we get from CVS. This is a long year relationship that we have with them, and you know, cooperation is good. I'm sure that, you know, once their, let's say, all merger activity will end, we will continue to see a business back from them in the future.
Okay. Asaf, you also mentioned development in India and St. Petersburg. Can you talk to, I guess, what drew you to trying to develop, you know, software in Russia, and how you see the, you know, the business arrangement and the political environment between Israel and Russia?
So I would answer that. First, you know, we, in the past, we acquired a company that had an operation in St. Petersburg, and therefore we have our own people working with us for many years. So we have the experience with them. I don't think the political situation is influencing whatsoever. I must say that they are way cheaper than what we can find in Israel or in the States. And in terms of capability, you can find a lot of talent over there. So overall, the balance is working for us.
Okay. Can you give us a ballpark on, like, how many people you've got there versus the rest of your R&D team?
As I said, in total, in between India and St. Petersburg, we have close to 400 people.
Right. Okay. So, Asaf, SG&A popped up in the third quarter versus the June quarter. Is that a function of NetFX? And what sort of, you know, back office synergies do you think you can manage to, you know, to that integration, and where do you think that goes?
I think, yeah, basically the more than 50% of the growth in our G&A came from the acquisition of NetFX. I think that in basically on synergies, our contribution, what we believe in the sales mechanism, in the aggressive, the fact that we can back the growth of the company, which until today was held by a private individual, which, you know, normally they tend not to risk their own funds. Now the fact that we can support their growth and increase their working capital capabilities will assist in their growth. On terms of synergies, I don't think that growth will cause to, let's say, will bring to additional increase in their OPEX, except for sales expenses. So I think that we, with that, both the increase on revenues and both the fact that we can support them on that growth will not expand their G&A, and with that will improve their margins.
No, I understand. I was just wondering, I mean, on a non-GAAP basis, it's almost $15 million. I was wondering if you think there's costs that you can extract. And what do you think that number goes to, say, in the fourth quarter?
I don't think that immediately beginning of the fourth quarter you'll see a dramatic change. Something in the range of a few hundred thousand dollars that I do expect to see already as savings in the fourth quarter.
Okay. Fair enough. Thanks. On other partnerships that you have, could you talk a little bit about your arrangement with Tata Analytics and where you see your business growing there by geography, and what sort of other accounts you think they can drag you into?
We are, again, Tata is not a partner of ours, namely not one that, you know, that significantly has, even if we are working with them, that they have any significant on our business or opportunities.
Okay. I guess I misunderstood that. Apologies. And thanks for clarifying for me. All right. So on also on the P&L, if I understood correctly, you expect the full year tax rate to be 19 to 21. Is that correct, Asaf?
Yeah, we are currently at 16% level for the 9 months, but the, let's say that we do manage out of the acquisition that we did with NetFX, the fact that we can implement some tax-saving initiative with the way that we report this acquisition as if we bought the assets of the company rather than the stock, and the fact that with Power we can also utilize some of their NOLs, and the fact that we can also do some initiative in, let's say, moving the IP of Power from the U.S. in Israel, that can that was the main driver that reduced our effective tax rate in 2019. Currently, we, you know, as it is still fresh, both the acquisition of Power and the acquisition of NetFX, and the fact that, you know, we are still working out the let's say the details, the tax details with our tax advisors, I wanted to be more, let's say, careful and conservative, and this is why I kept the range something between 19 and 21%. But my expectation is to be lower than that, let's say, for the year end. If you want the number that will represent next year's, like 2020, that's the range, 19 to 21%.
Okay, fair enough. Thanks for that. Okay, last question. You mentioned 51 software solutions and 49% professional services, but I got confused. I wasn't sure if that was a breakdown in gross profit or in revenue.
That's the breakdown of gross profit. So despite the fact that the software division is around 30% of our revenues, it still contributes, you know, like half of our gross profit.
Okay. Can you review the revenue breakdown?
It's basically we do it's, again. It's no change. As I said, 26% of our revenues is from the software division. 74% is from the professional services. Basically, that's that.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much, gentlemen. Appreciate you taking my questions.
If there are any additional questions, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. Please stand by while we poll for more questions. There are no further questions at this time. Mr. Bernstein, would you like to make your concluding statement?
So, thank you very much for joining our call this quarter, and we hope to bring you some good news in the next quarter. Thank you.
Thank you. This concludes the Magic Software Enterprise Ltd. Third Quarter 2019 Results Conference Call. Thank you for your participation. You may go ahead and disconnect.